Tonight I stand before you. Tonight I come before you to stand before you to tell you a story of what I know nothing about. Last Thursday, which was Good Friday, and it goes on and on. But that's me tonight because I'm going to be preaching on forgiveness. Yeah, every one of you need it. We have So tonight we're going to be on forgiveness. We have several passages, and those who can and will stand will look at these passages in Matthew and then one in Ephesians. How can I forgive someone who has hurt me deeply? Well, in Matthew, the 5th chapter, 23rd and 24th verses, Jesus says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. And then in the 6th chapter, the 14th and 15th verses, and Jesus said, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And then over to Matthew 18. Matthew 18 and verse 21. Then came then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And then one other in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Claim your promise, it won't return empty or void. It'll accomplish that for which you sent it forth, and it will prosper thereby. So may all of our ears and hearts and mind be open to all that you have for us, and we'll thank you in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Anybody here been hurt by somebody you love? Yeah, there you go. The rest of you, you can come to the altar at the close of the service. Anybody here never been hurt by someone else? Yeah, that's what I figured there. We a lot of times talk about people who, because of something that's taken place in their life, how they limp through life wounded and haunted by the memories of broken and battered relationships. And that's a half-truth, because a lot of people limp through life because of a lack of forgiveness. A lot of people limp through life because of a... There you go. And it's like having a thorn in our foot. We can walk with a thorn in our foot, but we walk with a limp. And that limp is because of a lack of forgiveness in our own heart and life. Forgiveness can be therapeutic. In other words, it can be a blessing to your life. It can do a lot of healing in your life. But I have to purpose to forgive. Forgiveness sets us free. Bitterness, malice, revenge, vengeance, All of these things are a chain that hold us captive. But forgiveness gives healing to the heart, to the soul, to the body. And on top of everything else, Jesus commands us to forgive. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. And if it's a command from the Lord Jesus Christ, why is it so hard to forgive? Don't have any hands raised on that. But the reason it's so hard for us to forgive is because we can't do it in our own strength. It's not something that we can say, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to exercise this, or whatever it is. You cannot exercise forgiveness in your own strength because it's not natural. It's supernatural. It's something that comes from the Lord. I have to be quite frank. In my flesh, it's easier for me to write somebody off than it is to forgive them. I can find another friend. You know, I don't need this. And so sometimes it's hard to forgive because we would rather write somebody off than to humble ourselves, even if we're right, and to forgive them. Now, I may not be bitter. I can be unforgiving and not bitter about it, or I can try to convince God that I'm not. And I just don't want to have anything to do with them. You know, it's too much trouble. It puts too much of a strain on me. Anybody been there, done that, and bought the T-shirt? So Paul writes that when we can't forgive, we're carnal. Now, he doesn't say, oh, I didn't realize what they did to you. I didn't realize how they hurt your feelings. He's not talking about that. He's not talking about what has been perpetrated against you. He's talking about how you respond to that. He says when we can't forgive, we're carnal. Has nothing to do with the other person. It has everything to do with us. And we don't forgive somebody because they're, quote, worthy of it, worthy of our forgiveness. We forgive because Jesus said forgive. And he's worthy. Amen. And it's about him. Forgiveness is really foolishness to the world. It's that way to a lot of Christians, I hate to say. But forgiveness is really foolishness to the world, and they don't take to it kindly. I told Joan I was going to use her for an example tonight, and she said, well, then I'm not coming. That was just an excuse, but anyway, I pushed her a little too hard. Plowing 20 acres before we got here tonight was a little too much. But everybody looks at little mild-mannered Joni. But I know way back when. And in high school in Marion, Texas, she was the only Christian that I'd ever met. I'll be real honest, the only one. There was a guy that I suspected was a Christian, but he was undercover or closet or whatever. But she was the only outward Christian that was different that I'd ever met. However, this attractive, sweet Christian had a girl in her typing class that continually ridiculed her for being a goody two-shoes, for being a Christian. And this went on and on and on. And finally, I don't know if this was a Christian thing to do, but Joni grabbed her with both hands of hair. And they went down on the floor in the typing room, rolling and kicking and scratching. It was a wonderful, wonderful sight. And she was doing pretty good when they separated them. And, you know, I never understood that about country schools, because up until that time I'd been in the city and somebody would get in a fight and they'd knock them down. And they'd say, come on, get up. In the city, you didn't ask them to get up. That's what you got them down for in the first place. Well, anyway, they separated my mild-mannered wife and this other lady, woman. And Joan got convicted about it. You see, being a Christian doesn't keep you from sinning, but it keeps you from enjoying it. And so she came under conviction that I'm a Christian and she's not, and I can't act like she does. And so she went the next day and went up to this lady, this girl, and apologized to her. And the girl laughed in her face and ridiculed her again. Just because you forgive somebody, or just because you ask forgiveness, does not always mean that it's going to be well received. But it's really not about them anyway. It's about you and the Lord and being right with the Lord. Galatians, the 5th chapter, the 19th verse, says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. You know, I need to throw this one in for free, but when we're saved, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And we're sealed until the day of redemption. But that does not always mean that we walk in the Spirit. As believers, we choose, am I going to walk in the flesh? Am I going to walk in the Spirit? And sometimes we can move in and out of there faster than you can imagine. Well, before we're saved, we're motivated by attitudes and actions. And these are self-protecting, self-promoting. We want to square things. Is that not right? We want to get even. We want to save face. Natural man really sees forgiveness as a doormat. They see forgiveness as weakness rather than meekness or strength under control. It's amazing how that will disarm a lot of people. I've had people tell me, said, well, I'm not going to church because of the hypocrites there. And I said, you know, you're right. I'm probably the biggest one of all. No, preacher, I wasn't talking about you. I said, no. I know what it is to be saved and to have a home in heaven, and I've never talked to you about it. So I'm probably the biggest hypocrite that there are. Well, now we don't want to talk about that anymore. We want to move on to something else. But forgiveness is really a supernatural act that's really only possible through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not natural, it's supernatural. And I've said this before, when couples marry, that it says, husbands, love your wives. And, you know, women don't really understand that. I mean, why wouldn't he love me? I mean, have you smelled how good I smell? I mean, surely you have a mirror. But women don't understand. It's not natural for a man to love his wife. It's unnatural. It's unnatural. It's natural for a man to love himself. That's the natural thing. Only in Christ Jesus can you love her like you're supposed to love her. And it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Why does it say that? Because it ain't natural. It wasn't natural back in the garden, and it ain't natural now. It's supernatural. So, it's only possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in Colossians, the first chapter, verse 13 and 14, it says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us or changed us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I think that there's a lot of people who are not saved because they don't think that they've done anything that demands God's forgiveness. You know, the understanding the forgiveness of the Lord. He who knew no sin became sin for me. And a lot of people have problems with that. I went visiting with one of our men, and he is concerned about his aunt and her salvation. And I said, you know, the Bible says that everybody sinned, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. And she said, not me. I said, you don't sin? She said, no, I don't sin. I said, have you ever thought about being the pastor of the country church? Because I know him and he sins, you know. Finally, before the night was over, she maybe had sinned a little, you know, not like some of y'all, but a little and everything. And she did realize that she needed to be forgiven of it and to be saved. But before we can really forgive, we have to have experienced his forgiveness. It changes things, how we look at things. We talk a lot about reconciliation. And I love that portion of scripture that Paul speaks about being reconciled to God. And you go all the way back to the Old Testament, and Job said, isn't there somebody? Isn't there a daysman? Isn't there a reconciler that can get a hold of holy God and fallen man and put us together? And so he prophesied of the Lord Jesus. And so we, fallen man, can be reconciled to God the Father through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a good thing. We can amen that to death. But the Bible then says, therefore, be ye reconcilers. That's what we're to be about, is bringing fallen men and women back to holy God through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Reconciliation means to settle differences. Isn't that something? To settle differences, to set free. I've used this before, but I'll use it again because, one, it's one of the few stories I can remember, and two, it is such a supreme example, and it's a true story. In the Southern Baptist Convention, there were two preacher brothers whose dad was a preacher, and these are both prominent. When I say prominent, I mean they've touched a lot of lives. Their father was a pastor also, and the pastor divorced his wife and ran off with young Chickie to Arizona. And his wife stayed in Oklahoma, and one of the boys called him and said, "Dad, Mom's dying of cancer. They don't expect her to live very long. And Dad, she's asking to see you." And so he left Chickie in Arizona and went to Oklahoma City and went to the hospital. The boys were in the lobby, and they said, "Dad, Mom's in room 207, and she's holding on." And so he eases into the door, through the door, and he goes to her bedside, and her eyes are closed. And she senses his presence. She opens up her eyes, and she held up her hand. And he took her hand, and she said, "Honey, I want you to know that I love you and I forgive you." And she closed her eyes and died. That's what she was waiting for. And the boys, I think, used that illustration, J.K., at one of our conventions. And he said, "My mom didn't want to meet the Lord with an unforgiving heart. And she did not want my dad to live unforgiven." If you know a more supreme example than that, then you feel free to share it with me. But not wanting to meet the Lord with an unforgiving heart and not wanting someone else to live all of their life unforgiven. Well, so how do we handle it? Well, one, we got to realize we can't do it on our own. That's the place to begin. And I've found that here lately, there's a whole lot I can't do. Well, let me say, there's very little I can do on my own. I ate the last of the chocolate pudding tonight on my own. I got to get that in there. We had one deal of chocolate pudding left with pecans and maraschino cherries in it. One deal. I opened up my lunch today, and there was a Fiber One bar. I went home. Joan was getting groceries. I sucked up those cherries and I licked that bowl. Because it was easier to get forgiveness than permission. It was dietetic, won't you know, Judy. It was gluten-free too. But realize, one, I can't do it on my own. But in Christ, I can do it. This deal is, well, I can forgive, but I can't forget, and I can forget, but I can't forgive, and all of this. then rip out Philippians 4:13 in your Bible, where the scripture says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not some things, not the easy things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I have to acknowledge it. And this humbling yourself, that's not a fun thing. I don't care what anybody says. You know, I've swallowed my pride so many times it goes up and down like an elevator. But we got to acknowledge our sin and not what somebody's done to us, but our sin of not being willing. We say I'm not able, but not being willing to forgive. So we acknowledge it. We seek His power because we can't do it on our own. We deal with it swiftly. In other words, we don't put it off. I have a tendency to want to put off the unpleasant things. You know, I want to put them off until I'm in a better mood. Till the Spirit is flowing up and down my spine and all of this. We need to deal with it. We're like that old boy in the country church says, what shall we do about sin? He said, nip it in the bud. And that's what we need to do. We need to deal with it swiftly and not put it off. Confess any wrong on your part. And 9 times out of 10, or 10 times out of 9, there is some sin on your part. Don't keep a record of the wrongs. That's a good one. Doc, you remember us going to see Bill Cosby when you could, and Bill Cosby said, how many of you women had a baby? And they raised their hand. He said, most painful experience in the world. Yeah. He said, how many of you women had 2 babies? They raised their hand. He said, the most painful experience in the world, and you had 2 babies? Why did you do that? She said, well, I forgot the pain. He said, ma'am, your husband messed up 20 years ago, and you haven't forgot that. So sometimes we don't forget, or we keep a record of past wrongs. Now, I know this has never happened in your household or whatever. You were at odds on something and you dealt with the matter. And X number of gazillion years later, something comes up. Well, you're just doing the same thing you did 20 years ago. Never forgot. And Ruth, you need to quit that. He gave me money for that. So don't keep a record of the wrongs. Live free and let it go. You know, an unforgiving heart, an unforgiving spirit will eat you up. Years ago at another church, I had a young lady come to me she wanted me to marry her and her fiancé. And I asked if her fiancé was saved. And she said, well, no, I'm not sure that he is or not. And I said, well, you don't need to be unequally yoked. And I said, you don't need a wedding for the Lord and a reception for the devil. So she backed out on the deal, and I didn't marry him. 2 years had passed, and her mother was a hairdresser, It's nothing against hairdressers. It's just as more hell takes place in the barbershop and in the beauty shop than the rest of the places put together. But anyway, somebody came to me and said, you really hurt Miss So-and-so. I said, well, I don't even remember talking to her. And they said, well, you said that she wasn't a fit mother. I said, I didn't say anything like that. So I made it a point to go see her. And 2 years ago, her daughter had come home, and she said, well, how did it go? And she said, well, Brother Butch said you didn't do a very good job raising me, that you weren't a fit mother. I never said that. Her daughter said that. But I shared with that. We were reconciled, settled our differences in that sense. But bitterness had eaten her alive for 2 years. And it can happen to you. And it can happen to me if we don't turn loose of it, let go of it, and live free. And then learn from it. Act with wisdom in the future. You know, it's no big deal making a mistake. You ever made one? All the time, you know. But you try, or you should try, not to make the same one twice. Now, Joan's not here tonight, and so because of that, her dad beat anything I've ever seen. Everything he did was at 100 miles an hour, but I've never seen any individual in my life. Have you ever hit your thumb with a hammer? You know, it's kind of like biting your tongue. You don't want to do that again. I've bit my tongue, but for the rest of it gets out of the way. You know, well, when you hit your thumb with a hammer, you want to quit that stuff. But my father-in-law could hit his thumb twice in a row. Boom, boom. You know, I don't know what that's got to do with anything, but acting with wisdom in the future. Get your tongue out of the way, or get your thumb out of the way, and use wisdom. And then here's one that I've not only used this verse, I've probably abused this verse. Romans 12:8 says, as much as is within you, live peaceably with all men. That's a sound biblical principle. And I know the Lord's tickled that I approve of that and have endorsed it. But we can take a biblical verse and we can pull it out of context and we can misuse it. And I'll be honest, for me sometimes, I have said, well, I have a problem here. We have a disagreement. And so I'm going to try to live as peaceably as I can, and I'm going to withdraw and remove myself from the situation. And that's okay up to a point, but probably the greater scheme is that I'm not willing to forgive, and I'm not willing to ask for forgiveness. And so, but as much as is within us, we need to live peaceably with all men. Well, this has to do with forgiveness. And we need to begin at the beginning. And that is, if you've not experienced the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the forgiveness, set free. Probably the greatest thing, word in the world is forgiven. Amen. Forgiven. I've got a railroad spike in my office. One of the kids at Vacation Bible School or something years ago gave me, and on that spike is written the word forgiven because of Calvary. because of Christ. And until you've experienced that forgiveness. So that's where you begin. If you're not saved, you won't understand forgiveness. If you're not saved, you agree with God. Admit to the Lord, Lord, I need to be saved. Ask the Lord to forgive you of your sin, come into your heart and life, and save you. And upon the authority of God's word, he'll do just that. And so tonight, if you're not saved, be saved. Bow the knees of your heart, ask him to forgive you of sin, come into your heart and life, and save you. And upon the promise of his word, he'll do just that. If you're saved and never been identified, you need to settle that and go on, follow the Lord in baptism and into the full fellowship of his church. If you don't have a church home, God doesn't intend for you to flit from bush to bush. He expects you to light somewhere and to be a part. Put your shoulder to the wheel. And then, if there's something that needs to be settled, you just come to the altar. You don't have to come to me or John or J.K. You come to the altar and get alone with the Lord and say, I'm having problems with this on forgiveness. And Lord, just between you and me, I want to get this straight. And if you will, then he will. I'm going to ask John if he'll stand at the front. And if you'll stand tonight as we pray and we enter into a time of invitation. Father, we thank you for your word. It's not always pleasant. Sometimes it's painful. It's the fruit of it. It's the finished product, Lord, that will make a difference in our life. So help us to yield to the word tonight. Whatever the need of individuals' hearts, we know it can be met in Christ Jesus. And we're thankful that that's what this altar is for, that we can come and get alone with Holy God. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing, you come.
Just as I am without one.
Lord, I'm going to do it.
But that thy blood was
you have
shed
taken the word.
For me,
you've dealt with me. And Lord, I'm turning it over to you. What a blessing that we can come just like we are. Not getting it all together. Just coming to him like we are. Let him do the changing. O Lamb of God, I'm coming. This verse for you. If God said this is your verse, this is the last verse before I come again. Is it well with your soul? Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Ralph, how about you come in? And this man's been through the valley.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know him, this is Ralph Salazar, my father-in-law. And they had an accident in California 4 months ago, head-on collision. And you've been praying, most of you, so I told Ralph to come and give you an update since he's here.
Okay. Thank you. Before I say something, Butch, my toes hurt.
I stepped on them.
My toes all this evening.
I love to share.
Thank you.
Yeah, when God's on my toes, I want to share it with all of y'all.
No, but it is true. God is a very forgiving God. And what Brother Butch said tonight is so true. And if somebody out there doesn't know the Lord, you better get your act right. Because in a blink of an eye, you can be gone.
Mm-hmm.
And where you go, it's up to you. And on that, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to everybody that is here and those that are not. It is because of prayer and because of concern, because of God's love for his people and for us as individuals. We're here. I'm here. My wife's over there with children. She said, oh, I got to go be over there with kids. That's fine. But we're here as a church family, and we're here because y'all prayed, and the Lord does answer prayer. We're here to say that we know for sure, and he has before, and he'll continue to answer prayer. So always rely on the Lord. Ask his people to pray for you. Again, thank y'all so much.
Amen. Amen. So all those things I've done you wrong, Ralph, you got to forgive me now. I just want to point that out just to make sure your toes are a little better. Maggie comes tonight, has accepted Christ at a younger age, and she just wants to make this her church home.
Amen.
So thank you. That's good stuff.
Amen.
A couple things before you leave, as you're leaving anyway. There's a men's event coming up on the 15th on a Saturday. No Man Left Behind. Hopefully you'll come back and be a part of that. It's really going to be exciting. Obviously, you've got VBS coming up very quickly, right around the corner. And then young adults, we've got something coming up on the 16th, I believe, on the Sunday after church. Kind of bring your own lunch kind of thing and going to have a good time. We are planning now, preparing for the August 1st mission trip to Mission, Texas. I will hopefully next week be showing you a video of what we did in the last mission trip to kind of prepare for that. But if you're interested in going on the mission trip and you want more information, make sure you come see me pretty quick because we're making arrangements for that now. Okay? Anything else? I don't think that's it. Okay. Let me pray for us and we'll be dismissed. Let's stand together. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are a God who forgives. Your word says that your mercies are new every single morning. And so I'm thankful that we can wake up and say, good Lord, we thank you for all that you've done. But Lord, we're thankful for forgiveness because we can walk in forgiveness. Those who love much, it's because we've been forgiven much. So Father, help us to love our world. Help us to love those who don't know what forgiveness looks like, and that we might be the model of your forgiveness to them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We all drive safe, and we'll see you on Sunday. Choir will meet in the music room.
So I'm there.